Good morning. Welcome to the Risen service here at Unity Worship Center. Come on in, sit down, have a seat, and we are going to open with prayer. But I want to give praise and glory to God, for He is faithful. He is a faithful God. He not only goes with you, He goes before you. He makes the path clear. He destroys the enemy. The weapons may form, but God is faithful in all things, that they will work to the good of those that love Him. So I want to open in prayer. Father, we thank You for this day, for the word that You have given this vessel. I surrender myself to You, Lord, that You be in control. Your words be my words. Your thoughts be my thoughts. Let everything that's spoken glorify and edify the name of Jesus. May it be a seed that takes root in the heart of the hearers, that they not only be hearers, but they'll be doers of the word, Lord. And we cling to the promise that Your word will not return void. We thank You for that promise, Lord. Enemy of ours, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave and not return. In Jesus' precious and holy name, the name above all names, in Jesus' name, amen. So this sermon came about last week. If you'll turn to Mark 16. And I kind of posted about it a little bit on Monday, if you read any of my Facebook posts. But we're going to teach about it today because God gave me the opportunity to and the wisdom to do that. If you notice, I've got some interesting containers here, all with names on them. And today, if you want to give a title, it's called Anoint, Pour Your Oil. Anoint, Pour Your Oil. And what brought this about, I was reading, God took me to Mark 16, verse number 1. This was after the crucifixion of Christ Jesus. And I want you to know Christ means the anointed one. He was very proud of that title, and you hear Him refer to that in the Bible quite often, Christ Jesus. And it says, "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salomon, brought spices that they may come and anoint Him," meaning Jesus. And I thought that was interesting because they were going to anoint what was dead. They were going to His tomb, and by all rights, normally it would have been a dead body there. However, we know that Jesus rose and was seen multiple for at least 40 to 60 days after His resurrection for that long, and appeared many times to His disciples before He ascended to heaven at the right hand of the Father. But I got to looking at that, and you look at that word anoint in that verse, it is different than the other words anoint used in the Greek. That word anoint means to oil, to smear, to saturate, to make rich in oil. But it also has another meaning that I thought was interesting. It says it is as a particular of a union. Particle, as a particle of a union. What's a particle? It is a base of a union. It is a portion of a union. An anoint in the Greek means that as well. This word anoint does. So I got to thinking, how often are we anointing dead things in our lives? How often are we anointing dead things? What is a dead thing? A dead thing is something that is past life. It has no benefit for us. It will benefit us not. So that's why you see what you see before you. Pouring oil on a person was a symbolic act of designating them as separated for a specific role. They were set apart for a special use. How many dead things in our life do we anoint and give our time and our money to, give our attention to? How much time do we spend on dead things in our lives? And essentially, we are anointing them. We are coming into union with these dead things, as the meaning goes. Jesus was anointed at least 3 times in the scripture. Some before he was, came into Jerusalem before he was betrayed and buried. There was a lot of symbolic things to it, but I wanted to talk to you about one in Mark and Luke 7, verses 36 through 38. This anointing of Jesus took place in a Pharisee's home. His name was Simon. According to the scripture, he was a Pharisee. So Mark 37, go over a few more, go down to verse 36, and I want you to read about this anointing of Jesus. I'm sorry, it is Luke. I apologize. It is Luke 7, 36. Luke 7 and 36. And you'll find most of the anointings either in Luke, Mark, Matthew, and John. But this one was different. This, it says in 36, then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house. Some people say it was Simon. This scripture doesn't say that. And behold, a woman in the city was a sinner. They believed that that meant she was a prostitute. The theologians do. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now the Pharisee who invited him saw this. He spoke to him, saying, this man, if he was a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is and who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, there's where we get the name, Simon, I have something to say to you. And so he said, teacher, say it. He said, there was a certain creditor who had two debts, and one owed 500 denarii and the other 50, and they had nothing with which to repay. He freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered, said, I suppose the one who he had forgiven the most or the more. And he said, you have rightly judged. Then he said, and turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair of her head. And you gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in, and you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he turned to her and said, your sins are forgiven. I love that story because the woman broke the alabaster box. That was the signet of her life previous to Jesus. That was the oil that she used in her way of earning money to make herself more pleasing and appealing to the people who would be her customers. And her breaking the box and anointing him was a way of saying, Lord, I am going back no more to this. I've given it all to you. You are so worthy of all this. And that was a way of expressing her love. But I think it's interesting. We, in our own lives, we have our oil, our time, our attention, what we spend our money on, what we indulge ourselves in, what we please ourselves with, and we spend it and anoint so many dead things in our life. What's the first thing on here? Family. Family is important. Jesus, God set forth the family in Genesis, did he not? He did. A man and a wife should come together and be one. But so it is right to put oil in your family. It is right to do that. But Luke chapter 14 and 26, Jesus said his own words, if any man come to me and hate not his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brother and his sister, and even his own self, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. you can get out of balance with your family. It's okay to put oil in it, but don't make sure that you're not putting that before God. If someone has a mic on somewhere, they need to turn it off. Thank you. Here's our second jar. It's our job. We're supposed to pour our oil into a job. That is biblical. Is that not correct? It is. What does the Bible say about it? Deuteronomy 28:12, it says, all the work of your hands God will bless. He will lead to, you will lead, lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. Proverbs 13:4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. And of course, 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if any would not work, neither shall he eat. It is biblical to have a job, but it also has its place, right? What's our third container? A significant other or a spouse or a wife. Again, God ordained this, and we're right to pour our oil into that as long as it's within the right balance. But Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Did he leave any room to make anybody else your God? Nope. Not family, not spouse, not that boo or bae you're chasing. They are not to be your God. You can get out of balance with that. What is the next container? The love of money. Why is that different than job? It's because it's out of balance. Love of money. It says 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. While some coveted after, they have erred from their faith and pierces themselves through with many sorrows. When you allow the love of money to become more important than what God has timed it for, then it becomes a problem. We keep pulling our oil. Do you know what? A lot of people think that you get out of balance with your job. And you do. You can. You can work too many hours. You put God second. But let me tell you something else the love of money is. It's not paying your tithes. You love your money more than God. That is a love of money, which is the root of all evil. Trespasses. Ooh. Trespasses. Trespasses is a side slip. That's the Greek word. It's a side slip. It means coming over the boundary or the line that was set. Falling short of living up to God's standard. Do you know how I know that? Is I watch people teeter and totter on the edge. Like, oh yeah. I know God says I'm not supposed to do that. I know God says I'm not supposed to, you know, hang out or talk that way or act that way, but I'm just going to stand here on the edge. And before you know it, you've slipped over. You sidestepped. James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and he doeth it not, it is sin. What are some other transgressions you can think of? Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's not. Most of the time, it's those that are right in the fence. And one day they want to be this way, and one day they want to slide over to this side and be this way. You're pouring your oil into something that is going to kill you. Transgressions. What's your next one? I poured more in my money. Let me get some over here on my transgressions. Trespasses. I'm just living a dangerous life. Ooh, sin. Notice this one is large. This is no surprise, right? Sin. Any action, thoughts, or feeling that goes against God's standard, that is sin. Romans 3 and 20 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6 and 20 says, 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 3 and 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the dead. Sin. Some of us keep sin in our life because it feels good. We like it. I'm going to pour a lot in that one. Because sometimes we like it a whole lot. The reason why it feels good. It leads to death. Every time. Wait. Wait. What does the scripture say about wait? Hebrews 12 and 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What is weight? Weight is bitterness. It can be many things. It can be anger. It can be what somebody did and we've drug it into the relationship with God. You ever met someone and they're carrying baggage from old relationships? It's the same way with God. It's called weight. We spend our time talking about it, telling everybody about it, crying to God about it, but not giving it to Him. So we're pouring our oil into that as well. Friends, oh yeah, I like to hang out with my friends. I like to go hang out with them. And sometimes that's okay if they're the right kinds of friends. 2 Corinthians 6 and 14 says, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We always talk about that as marriage, and it is true. But sometimes we yoke ourselves with people that are not godly. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but delights in the law of the Lord. Delights in the law of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Your friends, what are you pouring into them? I like to go hang out with them. Oh, it's okay we go to the club. It's okay we go watch an inappropriate movie. There's drinking and smoking, but I'm not participating in it. What else? And then, there's Jesus. You poured all your oil and all these things that are temporal. And when you come to Jesus, you ain't got nothing left. Nothing. What have you spent your time on? What have you put your attention into? What have you spent your money on? What has become more important than God? All these things have become a priority in your life. Do you have enough oil for Jesus? Look at your day. Take inventory of your day. Do you have enough oil for Jesus? Or have you spent it on everything else? And some of these things are honorable. Your family, your children, your job. Unless they become your God. Unless they become more important than taking them to church and teaching them the right way. Unless setting the example in yourself is what a Christian or a disciple of Christ is. You're not doing your job. You're wasting your oil. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. I want to read all of that with you. God gave me that one as well. And I love the way it says. It says, in you he made alive. You're no longer dead. You who were dead in trespasses. There's that word again. Is that slide, slipping? Slide, slide. Okay, that's a dance. Okay, I won't go there. Do y'all know who I am? I'm giving away my age. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Let me just tell you, trespasses lead to sin. in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, slave, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we once, among whom we also were once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, the fulfilling of the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. You're no different, or you weren't. But the Holy Spirit has come, and He indwells within you. He gives you the ability to understand the Word of God, to hear the preaching of the truth, to apply it to your life and walk strong and firm in it. But some of us spend our all on other things. But God, there's a but God moment, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Remember the anointed one? By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, anointed one, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His mercy and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That word workmanship means, in the Greek, that is made a masterpiece. Do you know what a masterpiece is? It's one of a kind. There's nothing else like it. Neither are you. Neither are you. You are called for good works. His purpose. You have been given skills to make this happen, but we're spending our time and our money and our oil, and we're burning ourselves on everything but Jesus. Notice He's the smallest one, because all He wants is you. He's done everything else. He's given you everything you need. You just have to pour your oil on Him. I'm reminded of the story in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. The 5 wise had enough oil when the bridegroom came that they could go out to the bridegroom. But the 5 wise, the Bible says, they didn't have enough oil. Could it be that they wasted what they did have before they got there? On other things, on the dead things in their lives. So when the bridegroom came, they had no oil to go out and meet Him. I implore you today, children of God, this service is not for an unrighteous person. It's for children of God. The oil is important in your life. His Spirit lives within you, but are you trying to get it to grow and mature, or are you wasting your oil on the temporal things? When the bridegroom comes, will you have the oil to meet Him? Father, we thank You for Your words today. We thank You, Lord, that You make things so plain for us, that we can understand that You are the priority of our life, that You go before us, You encamp around us, that You're with us and You are for us in every situation. But Lord, we need to nurture and grow our relationship with You. Help us, Lord Jesus, to take evaluation of the oil that You have given us and make sure that we are using it for the right reasons. So when the bridegroom calls, when the time comes, When the opportunity of the door is open for us to progress further, we have the oil we need to do the job that you've called us to do. We thank you that you've done it all for us. Now give us wisdom and understanding to do our part as well. In Jesus' name, amen.